Thank you. Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Emmanuel. It's a joy to have you here as we come together, gather around God's word to hear his good news of forgiveness. Just a couple of announcements to draw your attention to beforehand, that way I don't forget afterwards. But there are a couple of things coming up with Easter. First, we have a whole bunch of these invitation cards. Please feel free to take them, hand to a neighbor, hand to a friend, a co-worker, whomever you would like. Invite them all to our Holy Week services. They're all right there. Got a QR code to our website as well. Got 500 of these. We don't want any left, so please take some. Easter is quickly approaching. Also, with Easter quickly approaching, the week after Easter, the whole Forward Project begins. The renovation is going to begin here at church. That means church is going to be a little bit different for us as we move down to the Commons. A lot of you have questions. Some of you are asking questions of me and Pastor Tiefel as you came into worship today. It's a good day to ask questions because we've got this whole booklet. Hopefully all of you received this. If you would like every family to have one of these to take home, it's a guide. It's got questions and answers of what worship is going to be like, what are we going to do, how is it going to look, where can I come in? Most important question, though, is there still going to be coffee and refreshments between services? And yes, there will be. We're not going to take that away. So that is very important. But there's a lot of questions, a lot of answers here in this little pamphlet. Please take it home and review for yourself as well. This will be out for the next few weeks also. Got a special guest today, leader of worship. The Kaylee Orchestra is here. It's going to follow along the worship service here that you received. And Joey's got a little bit of introduction.
Thanks for having us back to New Dublin. Just had to start it off with some polkas there because we lost an hour of sleep. Just got to get moving a little bit. So a little word of introduction to this service. We play here a couple times, and we have a couple different Celtic liturgies that we do. This is a newer one that I wrote this last year, based around the story of an Irish missionary named Columba. Columba lived in about the 500-600s AD, a couple hundred years after Patrick's time. And he was a guy with some scars. He was born into one of the Irish noble clans, so he was kind of like in the Irish royalty. But he decided as a young man that he was going to give that up and join a monastery as a monk. Which was a little ironic because I think that the tribe that Columba was born into, that royalty, was actually the same line of chieftain that had kidnapped Patrick as a child in Scotland a couple hundred years earlier. But Columba joined a monastery and was a very, very bright student. And they think that by the time he was in his early 20s, he had already founded a number of monasteries around Ireland. But his life changed one day when a visiting monk, a friend of his apparently, came to visit the monastery where Columba was, brought with him a copy of the Book of Psalms. And Columba was really just entranced by this beautiful calligraphy copy of the Book of Psalms with beautiful kind of Irish artwork in it. And I guess kind of on the sly, he stayed up late at night while this monk was visiting and quietly copied his Book of Psalms, like made an identical hand copy, which I must have taken months. But it somehow came out that now Columba had made this copy, kind of counterfeit copy of his Book of Psalms, and this whole debate rose about whose possession, who that copy belonged to. And the local politics got involved, the chieftains, the government got involved, and it got so bad that actually lines were drawn in the sand, and armies were formed, and swords were drawn, and battles were fought over this copy of the Book of Psalms. They think one of the most famous battles in Irish history was actually fought over this copy of the Psalmbook, right? Columba's side won, but a lot of people had died in the process of this conflict, and the church and Columba felt like this just was not a good look for the Christian church in the area, right? They realized that after the fact. Either the local leaders decided, or we think actually maybe Columba himself decided that he should leave Ireland, kind of go into exile. Columba went into exile, kind of in a sense, just as a man in despair. He basically took on what was a suicide mission. He sent himself in exile to Scotland, and he was going to try to be a missionary to the wild, barbaric Scottish clans, the Picts. So the Romans were never able to conquer. They were not Christian. And Columba, I think, just assumed that he was probably going to his death. He landed, it was a clip here, I think we can, oh, I mean, is it? at Paloma Live, and Christianity became successful in Scotland through the work of Paloma in exile. There's only two writings that we know survive that are surely written by Paloma, similar to Patrick. We only know two things that survive that he wrote. But you can sense that he was a man with scars. He longed for his home in Ireland, but he just felt like he couldn't go back because of the damage that was done. And I think that's a common refrain in a lot of Christians' lives today, the scars we live with, you know, and maybe regrets and feelings of doors closed. But Paloma was a story of reconciliation. How God took a person like that and did extraordinary things, changed the course of an entire country. Hundreds of thousands of people's eternity. So, does that serve as kind of the thought of the theme of Paloma? Scars and redemption. The theme for one. We'll start with this song called The Arms of Grace. It talks about battle scars, kind of like Paloma.
In our meeting for worship, bless the joining of these lives and the fellowship it provides. As we leave this sacred space, may the blessing we receive be the blessing that we give. Through Jesus Christ alone, we pray.
The name
Lesson today comes to us from the Old Testament book of Numbers, chapter 21. Here we see the serpent that Moses lifted up in the desert serves as a type of Christ, that those poisonous snakes bit the nation, the people of Israel. They would look to that snake, they would receive healing. Reminds us of how Jesus was lifted up for our sins and we receive healing for him. They travel from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom. But the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses and said, "Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There is no bread, there is no water, and we detest this miserable food." Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us." So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, "Make a snake and put it up on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live." So Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. Then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, they lived. In you alone, O Lord, do we place our trust. When we were wandering on rough and stony ground, you reached out, lifted and brought us safely home. Our good shepherd, gently caring for his sheep.
This next hymn has been in our hymnal for a long time. It's actually a very, very old Celtic hymn, at least the melody is. And if you look in our hymnal, even today, the name of this tune is Columba. We're not sure exactly how it came to be named after Columba, but the tune itself might actually be contemporary with his life. And it's this beautiful hymn about the Good Shepherd, so we're going to sing these verses in the liturgy. Jacob, take us through the first one.
The King of love, my shepherd is, whose goodness fails me.
Second lesson from Ephesians chapter 2. Here the Apostle Paul shows us the contrast in our life. We came to this world spiritually dead, unable to come to Christ, gratifying our sinful nature. But Christ is the one who makes us alive, and it's a free gift through grace. These words will also serve as the basis for the sermon this weekend. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We are still prone to wander from the path you place us on, eyes easily distracted, listening to a different song, still tempted by the waywardness of youth. Now we humbly ask for your forgiveness and the encircling of your love to keep us safe from harm. For in you alone, O Lord, do we place our trust. Please rise for the Gospel. The Holy Gospel, according to St. John, chapter 3. As Jesus speaks to Nicodemus, he points to himself as the Savior of the world. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Please be seated. Lord, you do not give up on us, even when we wander. You guide us in your truth, illuminating a path that we can safely follow. You do not give up on us, even though we fail you. You bless us, as love so amazing, pours in and through our hearts in a constant stream of grace. The storm, a rainbow, our glorious reminder of a covenant between Creator and creation, God's loving arms encircling the world. After the storm, a rainbow, our glorious reminder of a gracious love between Father and children, God's loving arms encircling our worship.
Goodbye. 1700s. She lived in a small town in Wales, met a guy in a local church, got married, started having a family. Tragically, she died while giving birth to one of their kids. She's pretty young. And I think history probably would have forgotten about him, except for after she had died and people were going through her things, there were hundreds of poems that she had written. And many of them, most of them, were Christian. They were so beautiful that Anne is actually considered now one of the greatest Welsh poets to ever live. This next hymn was a poem that she wrote, and we set it to the tune of an old Irish lament from Solomon, Wonderside for Men and Angels.
To worship and praise.
righteousness in fiery splendor, freely pardons iniquities.
Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each and every one of you. Amen. Our text for consideration today is taken from Ephesians chapter 2, where we again read verses 4 and 5. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. This is the word of the Lord. Let us bow our heads in prayer. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. Amen. You may be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, there once was this little boy that always watched his mom bake and cook, and as on Easter, you know, and getting ready for supper, he asked his mom, "Mom, why do you always cut off the ends of the ham before you put it in the oven?" And she goes, "I don't know, that's just what my mom always did." And then finally she said, "Well, you go ask Grandma, who's here." So he went over to Grandma. "Grandma, why do you always cut off the ends of the ham before you put it in the pan, before you put it in the oven?" And she goes, "Well, my mom always did that too. Why don't you go ask Great-Grandma? She's here too." So he went over to Great-Grandma and said, "Great-Grandma, why do you always cut off the ends of the ham before you put them in the pan, before you put it into the oven?" And she just looks at him, "Because my pan is too small." So how many years of wasting ham? They didn't even know why they were cutting the ends off the ham, but they just did it. You know, I can remember a time in my life too, and I still brush my teeth with warm water, because I was programmed to use warm water when I lived out at a parsonage out there in Vermont, because every time I turned the cold water on in the bathroom up by our bedroom,
It would always leak, and we didn't really have a big budget to fix a leaky faucet, so for 10 years, I always brushed my teeth with warm water. And today, my left hand always goes for the warm water because I've been programmed to use warm water when I brush my teeth. My whole point, and maybe you're saying, what is the point of your story? You know, brushing teeth and this hand pan, what's the point? Why are we even here? Why are we even here? Are we just programmed to be here? And this is just what we do. My parents came here. My grandparents came here. My great-grandparents came here. So therefore, I'm here. Maybe some of you are saying, well, I'm religious because my parents were religious. My grandparents were religious, and my great-grandparents were religious, so therefore, I'm here. Or maybe you're here because you're feeding the appetite of your opinio legis. It's a Latin term for the opinion of the law, which always says, God did most of it, but you still have to do a little bit more. So therefore, look at God, what I'm doing for you. I'm coming here to church today. Look at what I'm doing for you. Hopefully you're not here coming to church to do anything for him, because here we receive from him. We're here to remember him and remind ourselves our salvation has been completed. It has been finished. We have been set free. You know, we're here again, and I always picture Jesus there in that manger. I see Jesus there on that cross, and I see Jesus there standing at that empty tomb. He did all this so that we wouldn't have any question marks over our salvation anymore. Now, I hate when people say to me, I'm religious. I go, oh, great, you're religious. Religious in what? You know, I'm religious in baking, I'm religious in my workout, I'm religious in here. I don't know, what's the object of your worship? There's a lot of religious people out there, but there's going to be a lot of so-called religious people that aren't going to be in heaven because they don't know the object of their religion. Remember the Athenians, when the Apostle Paul went to the Athenians? People back then were just like the people today. But I'll read this account here from the book of Acts. While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. So they were very religious, right? So he reasoned in the synagogue with both Jews and God-fearing Greeks, as well as in the marketplace day by day with those who happened to be there. He just sparked up a conversation with all. A group of Epicurean and Stoic philosophers began to debate with him. Some of them asked, what is this babbler trying to say? Others remarked, he seems to be advocating foreign gods. They said this because Paul was preaching the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. Then they took him and brought him to a meeting of the Areopagus, where they said to him, may we know what this new teaching that you are presenting? You are bringing some strange ideas to our ears. And we would like to know what they mean. Strange, because every other religion depends on you and what you do. But Christianity has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with him. This was strange to them. You mean I don't have to work out my salvation? No, it's been done for you. All the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there spent their time doing nothing but talking about and listening to the latest ideas. But then Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, people of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to an unknown God. So you are ignorant of the very thing you worship. And this is what I'm going to proclaim to you. It's a lot of ignorant people out there. They are religious, but they don't even know the object of their religion is. You know, I actually don't even like this sermon series theme, rethinking religion. The reason I don't really like this theme, because it just sounds to me that we're just putting Christianity just on the same level as all the other religions out there. Yeah, there's a lot of religions out there, but Christianity isn't religion, it's the truth. You know, why would God send us his only son who lived and died for us if there was another religion or another way around? There is only one way, and Jesus is the way. He doesn't say, I am a way. What does he say? He says, I am the way. He doesn't say, I am a truth. He says, I am the truth. He doesn't say, I am a life. He says, I am the life. It's really important. See, there's only really two religions out in this whole world. And one of the camps, this is where most religions find themselves. You know, you could go through, let's say, Shintoism in Japan. You can go to Buddhism in China. You have Islam. You have Mormonism. You have Jehovah's Witnesses. And you could go on and on and on. They are all in this one camp. And all you hear from them, and all the TV evangelists, I'd say 95% of them, are always saying this in this camp. You can, you can, you can. You do this, you do this, you do this. But in our camp, when we speak with God's truth, he says, and we say, you can't. But he did. That's the camp we stand in, because of Jesus and what Jesus has already done for us. And that's why Jesus says, I have come so that you can have life and have it to the full. We can live this life in joy and peace and comfort, knowing that our salvation is completed. If you went to the doctor, what would you rather hear? We got most of the cancer, or we got all the cancer? I think we all want to hear, we got all the cancer, right? How can you actually live a full life if you still have question marks over your salvation? You can't. So stop looking at yourself, but remember the object of our religion, the object is Jesus and what he has already done for us. You know, we can't do a thing. We can't accept Jesus, and we can't choose Jesus, because we are spiritually dead, or as our text tells us, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. Can a dead person say, I accept the Lord Jesus into my heart? No, you're spiritually dead. Can a dead person say, I choose to be a part of Jesus' family? No, because you are spiritually dead. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. Again, it has nothing to do with us, but by his great mercy, he made us alive. I don't know if some of you still remember Mr. Cuck, Drew Cuck. He was our eighth grade teacher when I first got here. He was also the athletic director. And I can remember for Children's Chapel on Friday, I had him lie down right there. And I said, you have to play dead. You can't flinch. You can't blink. You can't respond. You can't do anything. And Drew Cuck, he was also a big Viking fan. So I had him lay there, and I started covering him with a Favre jersey, and then I put a cheese head on him, and I was about pouring, you know, a glass of water over him, and he couldn't flinch, he couldn't do anything, because he was dead. He couldn't do anything, and that's, I told the children, that's how we are. We can't do anything. But again, remember what God's word tells us here. It says this, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. So as he laid there, he couldn't move, he couldn't do anything because he was dead. But how does God make us alive? I got this out. I took this Bible, made it like a paddle, the word, and this is my private communion set. It's like the defibrillator, right? How does God make us alive? With his word and sacraments. And then I would shock him a few times. He'd go on and off a little bit and flip around a little bit. But again, that's what God has done for us. He makes us alive through the word and sacraments. And that's how he creates faith within our hearts. I know that all of you know, one of my favorite sections of God's word is Galatians chapter 5. Well, for it says this, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then. Do not let your hearts be burned again by a yoke of slavery. We have been set free. Our salvation is not assembly required. Our salvation is already pre-assembled. It's all been done for us. And my goal, my prayer for all of you is that you continue to stand firm and look down where you're standing. Hopefully you don't have one foot over here in God's word and Christ has done it all, and your other foot over here in work righteousness. If you do that, you can't fall. And if you do that, you're making Jesus valueless. Or as the Apostle Paul says here in Galatians 5 again, says this, mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, or this to say, I can still do this all by myself, Christ will be of no value to you at all. So we worship the Lord when we put everything into his boat. It's because of you I'm saved. Yes, I am a great sinner, but you are a greater Savior. But if you put one foot in one camp and another foot in the other camp, the Apostle Paul also says this, you who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ, and you have fallen away from grace. Today in our gospel lesson, we heard about Nicodemus as well. And Nicodemus, he was a very religious man as well. He was one of the Pharisees, and a Pharisee would always say, you know, it's what you do to get to heaven. That's what Nicodemus thought. But then in his conversation with Jesus, Jesus looked to him and said, you know what? You know, your religion has nothing to do, your salvation has nothing to do with what you're thinking up here between these two ears. Your salvation comes out from outside of this world. And then he goes on to say this to Jesus, and Jesus says all this to us as he locks his eyes with our eyes today, and he says the same thing. He says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. You know, this last week, I remember one of my professors telling me, you know what, sometimes you have to go to other congregations, and maybe not the one that you're affiliated with, just to see what else is out there. And I don't have to go anywhere. I can just check them online now and everything. And I ask all of you to do that, you know, or listen to a TV evangelist, or listen to a different church. And guess what? You're going to be hearing a whole different message. You're going to be hearing a lot about you can, if you just do this, if you do that. And I think you'll have more of an appreciation what we do have here. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, most congregations will minimize sin, but when you minimize sin, what happens? You minimize what Christ has done for us. Here, yes, we will maximize sin, show you your great sin, but at the same time, we also maximize what Christ has done for us. I know that you hear me say this all the time. Hopefully you're not here today trying to make peace with God. You can't. But hopefully all of you are here again today to rejoice that God has made peace with us through his Son, Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen. Today we'll continue with our offering, and again, for all those who are visiting here today, if you'd just like to do our connection card, it's on the gold side, and all the members that we have here today, it's on the black side, and you can put those in the offering. Thank you. Thank you.
campus around. Be that my vision. I can't do St. Paddy's Weekend or the opening of St. Paddy's Weekend without Be That My Vision. Because this thing really has to do with its history. This picture up here. This is Slane Hill in Ireland. The story goes that one year actually, when Patrick was working in Ireland trying to get Christianity to take hold, the Christian holiday of Easter fell on the pagan holiday of summer solstice. And the Druids convinced the chieftains to outlaw the Christians from celebrating Easter this year. And so the chieftain did so, and Patrick and his little group of Christians climbed this hill, Slane Hill, outside of the capital city of Ireland. And that night they lit a huge bonfire up there and had an Easter service in defiance of his king's order. And you can see how the king could have seen that from the countryside around. So he got his soldiers together and he charged up that hill, and they were going to kill any Christians that they found up there. The legend goes that to keep his church alive in Ireland, God disguised those Christians as something. Probably over half you know this from the last time we were here, but remember, he supposedly disguised Patrick and those believers, those Christians, as a bird of the year. Right? So I don't know what really happened, but somehow Patrick survived this night, this attack on Slane Hill. And this hymn was written, we think, to commemorate that event. And the hymn was written not too long afterwards. This hymn that we know as Be Thou My Vision comes to us out of antiquity, called Slane. In Ireland and Scotland today, they still call this hymn Slane. It dates back to at least the 500s AD. That's the earliest version of this that we have. So why don't we come together and sing Be Thou My Vision? I think in the beginning we'll play a little reading of the oldest version of this hymn that we have, from Scotland, from the 500s, where, interestingly, Columba was living at that time.
My dearest Lord, be thou a bright flame before me. Be thou a guiding star above me. Be thou a smooth path beneath me. Be thou a kindly shepherd behind me. Today and evermore. Soft. Thank you.
We continue with the prayers on page 10 in your worship folder. What have we to say of you, Jesus Christ? We whose eyes have been opened so that now we see. We whose ears have been opened so that now we hear. You are teacher, prophet, healer, friend of the friendless, hope of the oppressed, liberator. You are these, but so much more, for you are the love of God, filling hearts and souls wherever you should pass. You are the word of God, bringing truth and wisdom to a world that's lost. You are the Son of God, traveling the road that leads to a cruel cross. You are this world's Savior and the reason we are gathered in this place. For love beyond imagining, stepping down from a heavenly realm to walk this fragile earth, touch a vulnerable people, and shed such precious blood for the sake of people like us. Accept this, our offering of thanks. For love that is so inspiring, taking the role of a servant in such humility, washing feet, serving bread and wine, being available for broken lives to be made whole. Accept this, our offering of thanks. O Lord God, Lord of life and death, we thank you for all the mercies with which you blessed our fellow believers, David Bauman and Lois Schuchknecht, now fallen asleep. We thank you especially for having brought them to the knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray that you would comfort their families and all who mourn their deaths with your precious promises and cheer them with the sure hope of a blessed reunion in heaven. We bring these requests before you, and we also join in the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
For our final song and benediction, we're also going to do the creed, the statement of faith. This creed that we're going to use parts of it date back to ancient Ireland. And it has a lot of similarities to that very well known in Christ Be Beside Me. So we're going to kind of do a combination of the spoken creed and this hymn. We'll sing through the chorus once, so you can hear it. Kind of sing the chorus with us. The verses are the same melody as the chorus, so from there I'm just going to kind of follow your rules, and the music is in there as well. Christ Be Beside Me.
Christ be with me.
tortured and nailed to a tree. A man of sorrows, he died forsaken. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose from the tomb. He ascended into heaven to be present, and his kingdom will come on earth.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for coming. Thank you, the Kaylee Orchestra, for being here, enriching our worship. Truly a blessing as we come and see our Lord and Savior who raised us to life through faith. Please take a look at all the announcements found in the yellow pages. You'll find much information there, in addition to the other things that are going. Starting Point will be starting not this week, but next week, Tuesday and Wednesday. So if you'd like to partake of that, that's the course for anyone who's interested in becoming members of Emmanuel or just learning to know more about Jesus and the Bible. Please come to that. Pastor Schultz can answer any questions, or you can call the church office as well. Also, to keep you up to date on some of the divine calls that have been happening here at Emmanuel, Ms. Heidi Moldenhauer returned her call here to Emmanuel for fourth grade, so our school board will be issuing another call a week from Monday. And then Mr. Fursenow, our principal, he also received a call to St. John in Baraboo, so please keep him and his family in your prayers as they consider where God may use them in his kingdom. If you didn't pick up a copy of all the relocation question and answer, please make sure you pick up your copy today. There are plenty of them in the back for your convenience. That's all the announcements I have. Anything you have? Good to go. You'll play a couple tunes between hand? Okay. Joy and I were classmates in high school, graduated from WLA together. Good to see he hasn't lost his interest in music. Did a lot of music there in high school, so good to have him here with you. May God richly bless your day. Stay, remain. You can stay for as long as you like. Hear the tunes. Otherwise, we'll see everyone this Wednesday for our Lexus sermon.
Come and around me, stand and open me.
angel band, come and around me stand. Oh, bear me away on your soul wide wings to my immortal home. Immortal.